Yes.
Okay, they're posting the...
That was Larry.
Ira, are you back?
Ira is not back.
No, Ira's not back yet.
Okay.
Okay, and you're looking at the Visio form?
Yeah, this is the Visio form.
Has joined the conference.
Okay, Ira, we have, Peter's posting the sequence diagrams that Larry, or displaying the sequence diagrams that Larry posted to see.
Right.
In the Visio format.
Jay, microphone to Shiva. Hi, everyone. Has joined the conference.
I think what we might do is take a look at how these diagrams have been rendered and indicate what could be done to make them perhaps a little bit more representative of what we were talking about and putting on the Excel list yesterday, particularly showing perhaps what happens to the process as we have the various transactions. And then when perhaps Larry better understands what we're after, perhaps talk about the rest of the processes, and at that point we can decide whether you want to talk about them in terms of new sequence diagrams or of the XML list of events or transactions. Okay, is that reasonable, Larry? Do you think that would be a helpful way to proceed?
Yeah, because I don't want to spend a bunch of effort trying to, you know, clean up something that maybe I'm not on the same page as you guys.
No, it's...
So I think this is Ira's reference to more of a ladder diagram or a UML diagram. No, you know, what level of detail you guys typically go into it, you know, do you... You know, put on the messages going back and forth, what, you know, is getting passed back and forth, or...
No.
Fine.
If it was me, I would put, if in the eventual picture, I would put numbers besides each of the ladder steps, and in a key later on, you know, say the actual parameters being passed, and, you know, details about error checking, or what, you know, a common problem, or whatever.
I would put things in there. Is that like you just do it?
Yeah.
Usually if you click it, it lets you put a box in there. I would have the, have each set of ladder diagrams specific to a particular function, for example.
A particular process.
Yeah.
I think, I think it's what it is, but we have to have them labeled so that the first process is registration,
Turn of registration.
All right?
Yeah.
So we have a process for registration, and then we have all the steps, all the transactions involved in printer registration.
Right.
And then we have another diagram entirely for association, and yet another one for job submission, and another for job fetching, fetch job, whatever we call it, you know, the printer getting a job.
Yeah, these are connectors, but there's certain arrows, if you click on them, they let you put in a text.
And I think one of the, so we have, for example, on the first step, we have the,
what's this,
the originator and the target, but at the present time, at least, we're not indicating the inputs and outputs, right?
Yeah, I kind of think it's fine. I kind of put them a little bit more than Ira, a little less than a lot. So I put like number one, and it would say request login or request whatever. And then you can expand the bullet down below. But at least you know we're looking at the arrow, what basically it's trying to do. So I add the number like Ira does, and then I say, oh, what are you doing? What is it? What is it really brief?
What happens?
Yes, it's some kind of action, but it's just a blank arrow with a number. It doesn't really help. It's hard to go back and forth between a table and
I'm a little alarmed by, honestly, this login operation, Bill, in that, at least in IPP and in current semantic model, ain't no such things.
Yep.
We don't have any such service operation discrete from just doing registration, create registration, create association.
I didn't understand that, but it was logging in. It's not registered yet. How come it's logged in?
Well, yeah, this is the concept of logging in and getting, you know, some token that you can use for other services within the same cloud. This is the single sign-on idea, but except you can't do that in IPP. You actually have to open a connection. I mean, we can map a login to open a connection with authentication in DLS, certainly.
Well, we're not saying that this is the protocol exchanges for IPP.
This is the sequence of transactions involved in the process, right?
Right.
Ah, okay, good. Well, as long as we understand that in all of our real protocol bindings, login is going to turn into connect.
But we're not really, in this model, are you really discussing IPP or just generically?
No, I didn't mean IPP. I meant it's equally true in SOAP and every other management protocol. There is no such separate operation login. Usually, you authenticate as you connect.
Right. So, I mean, the first thing is not a login, but it's a registration request.
No, the second thing is the registration. They've got a login proceeding.
I know.
Do you want to call this connect first rather than login?
I would just leave it out.
I'm happy to leave it in as login slash connect, Bill, and make it clear that this is a protocol-specific mapping, because you're right. If I was using a cloud service like Google or some HP or some others, I could do single sign-on, and then I got a ticket, and I don't actually have to log in when I make a new connection to a different service in the same cloud.
You still logged into Google to get that token.
Right. Right.
That's what I meant. Yeah, I don't have to do a separate login operation and provide all the original credentials I did. The credential I give is the ticket.
Yeah, all we're saying is that login occurred. I don't.
Yeah.
And it occurs before the printer registers.
I think the important thing you were saying.
What did it log in as?
A user with a role and credential.
Or logs in as anonymous. It either logs in with a user credential that's associated with the printer object, or it logs in as anonymous.
So how does it happen today in Google, as an example?
Google does it either way. Either you're a proxy, which is pretty much our manager, and you log into Google under your user credentials, and then the printer is created, and that printer is created with your user credentials.
Yeah, so
or you log in, or the printer logs in as anonymous, and it prints out a page with a token, an acquisition token, or I forget what they call it. But it's a token you get, a claim token. They print out a claim token that you then go to a computer, log in, and enter in that claim token to assign the user role associated with that printer.
So to get this token, the printer basically
anonymously,
you can do it.
Talks to the Google without having a registered user.
In which case, at a later time, it gets that role assigned to it.
Okay. Yesterday, we had this discussion, and we said the first step is login or connect. I don't care.
But
with the print manager, providing credentials and getting access rights. Are we saying that we do or do not want to keep this as a sequence step?
No, I think it's important to keep it as a separate step, Bill, because it's in the context of that login session and or single connection, that the create registration operation, the second line happens.
Right. Well, obviously, we do that. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Can you widen the screen out a little bit?
I could, but I really don't want to. this is pretty much the way it is. What is it you can't see?
I can't see the words, and I can't see the last box.
Over there?
Can you make a little the window a little larger, or is that the size you have?
That's the size I have. I can
Never mind. That's the size you have. That's okay.
Zoom it out.
Okay.
Now
you can't read it, of course.
Now it's too small. Okay.
Right. Thank you.
There. Okay.
Good compromise. So,
is that? That
little
error there will get rid
of this. Print
map.
Yeah. Okay, I think the point is this has to have occurred whether we include it as a sequence step or we state it as a precondition one way or the other. I just should keep it as a sequence step.
I would prefer it as a sequence step.
Yes.
Fine.
We could even keep it as a sequence step and number it zero.
My problem is it doesn't stop login in the connection. So I would just say print manager connection.
Yeah.
It's not a login. We're not logging into anything.
You may or may not be logging in. You're presenting credentials, certainly, but the question is it a login operation and is there any concept of something?
I'm not sure I'm presenting
any
credentials yet. All I've done is say, here I am, I want to talk to you.
I have no objection. I'm assuming no one has an objection. If we label the step Print Manager Connect.
Thank you very much. I like that.
Is that agreeable with everyone?
No. It has to be logging. You're calling to a cloud. It has to be authenticated.
We're saying that providing credentials is what is done during this connect.
Right, during this transaction.
Right, that's what the arrow shows.
There's no cloud. Won't ask you to authenticate.
Yes.
No.
So from all the ones that I've tested, and depending on how you connect up to the cloud service, it can be for ePrint. It just passes up, where it's located and what's the MAC address and blah blah blah. But for other ones, there's some other way to connect where you have to go to a web page and enter in a bunch of data before it registers. So I think it's, we should go put it in, and then at the end, when you actually get all the way down to here's how it should work and everything, if we decide that it doesn't need to be in there, we can take it out.
Do you want to make it login connect?
Right now it's login slash connect.
I'm talking about putting it on
login assumes you have an account.
The step name rather than putting it as part of the transaction.
True. And that's what we're doing. We are logging into an account.
There's no account.
Then you
get
logged, you go straight to registration as anonymous.
No, you're logged into no account.
Yeah, you just said it could be anonymous. Pete just explained it's allowed to be anonymous.
Right.
At the beginning, in Google.
So, printer manager, the connect login is an optional step.
All right. Fine.
If you have an account, you log in. If you don't, you go straight to registration. Yeah, do not pass
it. It's not worth burning over, Glenn. It's connect. We know that, and it might be logged in.
Before we go to step two, we got to go back to step one, and could you please put in front of the word login on the arrow 1.0?
The step is login connect.
So that we can elaborate later in a table, like I would suggest, that it's one,
I put step one and step two.
Leave it 1.0, because if you go down to the other steps, you may say it's 2A, 2B, 2C.
No, these are individual steps in a process. So printer registration has a series of steps that occur.
It's a top level,
and we'll expand it out later.
Right. If there is a 2A and 2B, it's explained down in the note on 2.
No, there should be an arrow for it.
No, I mean, if there's more, you're right. There should be an arrow if there's an actual protocol exchange.
Right, but we can say that this is the top level, The first thing you did is log in. There's some process that goes on with login. Next step is registration. Now, we'll make a whole new diagram for registration that shows all the subsets of that.
No. This is the steps in
registration.
Ira. This is the steps for printer registration. It's from the beginning of when the printer wants, when you want to register a printer, and this is the steps it goes through until that printer is now registered and available in the cloud.
Okay, just the second word then confused me because I thought that whole, it says registration. I thought that was the whole process of registration.
Nope, this is
the whole process. What we're talking about now is the registration process. And the steps of the registration process.
So a better
second
name.
The word should be request registration.
Yeah, right. Like Cloud Print Service creation request, it should be registration creation request.
Well, now the next step is recalling registration. All right? What do we want to recall that?
No, the next step is registration creation request. It doesn't complete until all these other steps, Bill.
No, because they have print jobs and everything else, which is not a registration process. So I'm just going to listen for a while.
Right, so I pulled everything in that we discussed on the spreadsheet.
Right.
But I didn't want to go too far down this in case of what's happening right now of, you know, it's easier to split it up into the separate processes.
I think, again, if we want to change what we said yesterday, that's fine. But let's understand that we're changing it. All right? Yesterday, we said the second step was something that at that time we called registration.
I agree, but the third step was previously just called something generic about Cloud Print Service.
The first step was called login.
The registration creation request does not complete in step two, Bill. It completes much later.
I know, and I would. I think maybe we want to maybe call that a different name. But this diagram is not showing the process. The lines are not showing the process duration. They're showing a particular transaction. The entire set is showing the process. All right? So I believe that the second shouldn't be called registration because the whole process is registration.
It should be called registration creation request, so it exactly echoed all of the other rows below it that say creation request.
I have no objection to that. Would someone else do have an objection?
No.
Fine. The second step is registration creation request.
Well, that's the third step. The first step is you send a request over for login or connect. What you get back is a security token. We called it access rights yesterday. I prefer to call it something.
Well, you see, that's
a token or a.
Okay, let's go back to the diagram. I said, I don't know that I'm that happy with this diagram form, right? So if we're going to show transactions, then we should show both directions.
Yes, that's why I put this.
Absolutely.
Good.
Yeah, so a later line would say registration, creation, response, right? After all of these other ones below that were precursors.
There's got to be a way to just grab all these.
Grab the outside bars.
Okay. All we're going to do is move these down a bit because probably most of them still apply one with one name or another. Boy, that certainly moves.
Not if you're doing just registration, actually. None of them apply.
Yo, stop. Sorry.
Yeah, client association. There's some that won't. All right. Okay. So, we have the first step, which is the first two steps, one and two, is a request goes across for a login, a connect, whatever it is.
Right.
And you provide your credentials. Actually, you're providing the credentials for the printer.
Correct.
Yes.
As opposed to a user.
Right, yes.
And what you get back...
These are device credentials, not user credentials.
Right. What you get back is, I'll call right now, security token. We called it access rights yesterday, but I really don't like that.
No, it's a security token.
It's some certificate token. Security token does all right for me. Is there any objection to that?
Why is it a security token at all?
Pete, you might call it access token.
Yes.
Access token?
There's no security applied at this point.
Refreshes the idea that you have some access rights. You might even have some as a guest, right?
Access token, all I wanted, it's something that it holds on to.
Right,
something the printer holds on to.
Right, it's a durable token the printer hands on to, and it's an identifier for this, to-be-made registration.
They're satisfied with that, I'll leave it at that.
Okay. It has no access information in it.
Authentication token.
Yes, authentication token.
Okay, so that's...
No, it's an access token.
No, it's an authentication token. It has no access information at all.
It knows. It may go to a different place now to complete the registration. So now it has an access token. What that access token contains something else, I don't know. But now it knows where to go to register. You didn't register that's connection.
That's true. It's also returning a URL to a...
Because it knows where it's going to talk.
It's still talking to the cloud print provider.
And the next thing it's going to do, it's going to a...
Registration request.
Yeah, registration request.
Registration. Come on, do that.
Although, I was telling you, registration creation request.
But it's still just a request. It doesn't matter if it's creation or not.
All right.
Let's keep it so.
So... that's the client, the cloud print manager talking
to the cloud print provider.
Cloud print provider
again,
and he passes in the token.
Ah, interesting. Oh, you don't have. Okay, never mind.
Three.
Well, we said it. So it does a lot of things.
Passes the access token.
We said location, authentication, capabilities, defaults, and state.
Gee.
No, but is the printer registering with the cloud print provider, or is it registering with the cloud provider?
The cloud print provider.
There is no cloud provider that we're talking about. We're only talking about the cloud print provider.
Who associates the user and the printer?
Don't worry about that right now.
We'll get to that.
You don't have the right actors and players. It's not going to work out later.
We've gone through it. We'll get to it later, all right? Let's not confuse it right now.
All right, so for the registration request, you're going to pass the printer's access token, the location, the capabilities, the defaults, the status.
Yeah, let's say status.
And that's it.
And that's it.
Right.
What about the IP address? For example, if they want to do IP-based search.
The IP address of who?
IP address of the cloud print manager. The external IP address, perhaps.
I just think that IP addresses don't exist in this scenario at all. I
mean, no, not the IP address, but the DNS name.
No. Yeah. Why are you sending all of that information as part of a request? I haven't been asked to send that information back to the registration unit.
Well, that's the way
all
it is
you've
at the
done
moment.
Is say I want to. I'm requesting a registration.
So right after this,
I tied down a specific name.
The cloud print provider talks to the cloud system service to instantiate the objects. I believe
to instantiate. This is the cloud print service creation request.
Yeah.
It's the fourth one down, fifth one down.
It was.
So it's the cloud print provider to the cloud print system service.
Enumeration has gotten out of order from the original there.
There it is.
So over to the right. Well.
Got it? Yeah. Cloud print service creation request?
That's what we were calling it yesterday.
Okay. And that one is going to be passed.
That goes from cloud print provider to cloud print system service, and he says, give me a print service.
Okay,
and
right.
Here, by the way, are the defaults and stuff. Here's
it takes
the
all the stuff that he got from the cloud print manager.
The service asks for the print for the capability to build the status.
So now
for that print service.
So the cloud print provider has now asked the cloud print system service to create a cloud print service.
Right.
It's not passing in the access tokens to the
country.
Yeah. From the manager? Yeah, he is, because that has to be stuck into the service instance. That's the associated print manager, right?
That's right. I thought, okay, yeah. One to one.
I'm assuming that this access token is a UUID you create if you were halfway intelligent at the time that you, you know, grant access to do operations, right? You just carry it around for the print manager forever, and it immediately assigns a UUID from the point of view of the cloud for the print manager.
So I'm thinking it's probably like it's an OAuth token or something like that.
And presumably the cloud print service provides, I'm sorry, the cloud print service, which now exists.
Turns the status, it's got the arrow flipped.
Oh, okay. Create, that's after what the cloud print service is, it instantiates a instantiates the
cloud print service.
Right.
Right.
We're doing some of these things here.
I have a quick question. When you say location there, does it include the network-based location or just the
That's geolocation.
Just geolocation. So
that's the physical location of the device.
So if I want to ever implement, let's say, an IP-based search using this model, would that be still possible?
An IP-based search, I'm not sure what you mean.
For example, let's say I want to find all the cloud print managers or the printers that reside.
It comes under the cloud print service enumeration.
Part of the, if you're trying to find the cloud print manager, the printer basically, one of the attributes of the printer is, the printer description is, it's we call it XRI supported. It's the URLs that are the transport endpoints for that print service.
Okay.
It's an attribute of a printer.
And those are mandatory to advertise in Bonjour and LDAP and SLP and all of those for IPP everywhere. So, the IPP binding, I'm sure that semantic model binding as well. We'll just make them mandatory to support.
The box messed up the line.
Why are you sending all of this information around? What it does, a registration request.
We don't have much of anything else to do. The way in which it gets from one to the next, we're not saying. All we're saying is functionally what information is flowing from one actor to another.
That's why I'm asking, because the cloud print manager does a registration request, has to send nothing about its capabilities, default status, or its location.
The cloud print has to send all of it, or he gets no registration. That's the
No, wait a minute. Let me finish, Ira, please. After the registration request is done, the cloud print service creates a print service in the cloud, right? Now that print cloud needs to be populated. It now asks the cloud print manager, send me all your information, and I'll put it in there.
At the end of registration, a cloud print service object is open for business, meaning that not only is it ready to receive messages, it also has the state.
It isn't finished registering yet.
It obtains that state through the registration.
Glenn, we don't have any ability in semantic model XML schema or IPP to have what you think of as an unpopulated object. There is no such thing. It has to have defaults. What would you set them to?
So it's just pointing any memory space inside of a code. Give me a break. They don't, I don't understand this. At the registration request, that's not the end of registration. You haven't got to the end of registration yet.
The registration response after all these other steps way down below, the registration response sends back a cloud print service reference URL that already knows all the capabilities and location of that printer manager.
Okay. Can I suggest that we take the cloud print service rectangle up at the top and slide it down because it doesn't exist. All right?
Move the timeline down?
Just slide the whole block down.
That's not how you make a sequence.
No, that's not how you do a ladder chart. Everybody goes across the top. I'm sorry. Ladder charts have all the actors on the top.
The point is, I think it should be made clear that it doesn't exist until that step.
Yeah, you show the activation by putting a big box at first start.
Has joined the conference.
Are we having fun yet?
No, I think we are perilously slowly designing a protocol, and that this is not a good method for doing it. That's my two cents.
I think there's enough different opinions about this that if one person designed it, there'd just be the same set of arguments. So at least let's proceed. Presumably we did all this yesterday. Now we're just trying to map what we did yesterday onto a sequence diagram. Right? Let's do it, and if we decide it doesn't work, then we'll think of some other approach.
Okay. Another thing I typically do on a sequence diagram where it says registration request, move that back towards the same margin as Print Manager Connect. And then the next thing below a Cloud Print Service Creation Request is a subset of registration request.
Yeah, it's indented. Right, the actual on the left side should be indented,
there.
I agree.
And then move the next one in.
Fine.
With the cloud service creation request.
Let's go on to the next step, all right?
So now the Cloud Print Service has been instantiated.
And the Cloud Print Service sends back, presumably, to...
So...
Cloud Print Service returns the URL or whatever.
That's what we said.
Got it.
The fact that it's an object and that it exists, it sends the URL back to the Cloud Print Provider.
Actually, it said the system service, who's the one who created them, but then sent it to the print provider.
No, I'm sorry. Well, I really lost myself.
To the left.
Yeah, I think this create Cloud Print Service object is a mistake. It certainly isn't a protocol transaction. It is the actual result of the call to the Cloud Print System Service local.
Right. I agree. It's not
loaded, and its object is created. They are indivisible.
Right. Which is why we're saying this is not a protocol diagram, but a process diagram, and that is a process that has to be done.
I know, but you're showing the process as a protocol call between the print service, system service, and the print service.
No, we're not. We're doing it as a process. A process, somebody must create a Cloud Print Service. That's not a protocol operation. That's just something that has to be done.
I know, but you're showing the Cloud Print System Service telling the Cloud Print Service, please create a Cloud Print Service object. What? Is this chicken and egg?
Okay, Ira, how would you propose doing it? How would you propose?
I don't draw them however you wish. I'm with Glenn.
So it's within the Cloud Print System Service of the loop in within itself.
We could just put a big note there. All right.
Can we make comments or not? So typically what I would do is on the Cloud Print Service Creation Request. That would be okay the way it's got drawn now. The arrow below it where it says Create Cloud Print Service Object is actually a dashed line that continues on from that line to the Cloud Print Service.
Right.
And then it has a circular line, a half circle with an arrow on it that comes back and says, I was created and I'm done. Take all that words off. I don't need those right this second. Move them around. Move the words. Someplace else. Now, move that arrow up. No, down. Marty, up to line up with the next one. There. Now, make a dash with the request.
What did it do that?
Don't worry about it, then we'll just do it later.
Oh, there's got to make a dash.
There's got to be someplace here.
There, line's good.
Dash type.
Dash type, there it is.
Yeah, power. XLVs. Okay, so now it's done. Now it was passed on, and that dash line says it didn't send it to anybody because there was no such thing to send it to. So they actually, that process created that thing. Now, there's a little arrow that usually comes, a half circle arrow that comes back from that dash circle, indicate back to the Cloud Print service, system service, saying, ta-da, I'm done. I am created, or I failed, or because nothing happened.
Right. I am a loaded piece of service that now has endpoints, and I got a service object, or I don't.
I now exist.
Yeah, right.
Now,
this is a successful creation.
Loop curve connector.
No, it's over on the far left side, over under the drawing pieces under file.
Yeah.
What's that?
What don't you have Visio anymore?
Lifeline messages. What do you want?
No, message return.
There we go.
Message call with loop.
You call message call, which was that little loop.
Message
call. The routing message return, whichever one.
This is the top one?
Yeah, that's one that's going to stop
me. Back around.
No, further. Next one back. Up. Yes.
Oh,
there you go.
There.
So that implies that that thing is doing something. And actually what it's doing is creating itself in this case. However it got created.
Oh, it's being
now,
created.
Now, an arrow, take the solid arrow that you have now at the end of that one, duplicate it. Now move it to the left. Now, the Cloud Print service system service sends back now to the Cloud Print provider, I have created a Cloud Print service for that Cloud Print manager.
Now it's here, and what's why isn't it this?
That isn't the step that we talked about yesterday. I won't argue that it should not be there.
Yeah, it's an internal process step is what it really is.
Okay.
So now the system is. Now the Cloud Print provider now understands that a service exists for that print manager. Now, what does it need to do to complete registration?
It sends the Cloud Print service URL back to the Cloud Print manager.
Okay, so now it's, URL goes back to the Cloud Print manager, right?
Right.
As a solid line. Because it's an actual message. Okay, Irish, you hold them, I think.
That's not what I wanted to.
Okay, so normally in a sequence diagram, go to the thing where it says message return, shapes.
Oh, the shapes column on the left.
What's that?
Scroll up a little bit. I thought I saw it in there.
An activation block?
No, a grouping. An activation, you can do that if you want. So normally the activation or some kind of box is used to indicate that these are all part of one big massive step.
Right, there's a reason I don't do URL.
that activation bar goes on the vertical line.
Yes, right.
So I was going to suggest changing it to solid at the point it becomes real.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can change the symbols. I mean, I haven't used that in a while to know what it means. So.
Yeah, that information.
Right,
drag that over to the Cloud Print service.
No, well, you can go drag over to the
service.
No. Back.
Cloud Print
left.
Service.
Left.
Not system service, and then down.
Left.
You can do it there, and then do another one.
And now that is now an activated service. So now you can actually, theoretically, you can't
that's
do the
you want to do. Okay, I
bar. And then we'll adjust the length of the timeline of that for the duration of the jump.
Okay.
And the
what I want to do is What I want to do is group number 3 through 5. Those cannot be separated. They are one process. They're one thing that happens. Unless you're going to eliminate everything below it. Because everything below it has nothing to do with registration.
Right.
Now
right, we agree with that.
Ready to be
used. Yeah. We agree with that. We just had a starting point just to figure out what we were doing, and we had all the operations in there.
What we
want to do is split them out to printer registration, client association, submitting a print job.
Okay. Normally, I would just have a big long sequence diagram that would have little blocks that, of those things. Okay, never mind. You're going to make separate pages.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Fine. I usually put them in blocks.
Okay, so now
okay.
we have
Yeah, so there's no the user dash line just needs to come down even though it's never used.
Right. And so now you're
and we need to finish the labeling on the side. Or you just eliminate the thing called the
Well, why don't we just make a copy of this?
That would put the
All right, make a whole copy and erase. Make a copy, erase it, and then make a separate diagram, new diagram.
In 3, I wouldn't send the data that's being done. What I would say is that, register printer. It's actually request register, okay? And the next one in 4 would say, I don't care about the information now, because the information is already in the system, but I would have labeled that as a creation request.
Yeah.
Which is what I thought it was.
Yeah, but label the line, the actual line.
So would I, Glenn.
I don't care about the data.
They put the data here, and I would actually just put the parameters, the name of the operation. Create print service.
You're fading, Ira. You got to readjust your phone.
The create print service. That's the name of the abstract
right.
operation.
And you got the data above there, access, and location capability. You got all that already in there, so we know that's in the system already. And you know you need it to create the service.
And actually showing the returns is not very important. That just wraps up that defaults and status.
Technically we should finish this because what happens if it doesn't create it?
What?
You don't have an error condition here. Everything here is a...
Yeah.
Okay. No, and we don't need to. You can just textually describe the error failures. You don't ever draw a ladder chart of it.
No, because what will happen is this diagram will... If this thing fails at creation of a print service, say there's no more memory or I just can't create another one,
then
what happens?
So the registration, create registration request, strictly speaking, the one on the previous line, line 3 or 2, fails, right? It gets an error.
Number 5 sends back a null.
Well, but a null URL causes a failed status for the create registration request.
You're assuming that every unidirectional error has actually a response.
They are, yes. In both the semantic model and IPP, in every case, an operation has a response. There are no unconfirmed operations.
In the case of 3, wouldn't the response be, I did a printer registration request. Okay, yes, the registration request was honored. It never succeeded because I never...
Flip it around?
Yeah.
You haven't come to registration request response.
Is the reply for the command or is it for the action?
I'll just leave it like that for now.
Yeah, there's a way to swap it, I know.
Yeah.
I thought we were drawing ladder charts of actual operations, abstract operations being performed,
right,
along with something like login that's...
But see, that means that arrow, the number 3, cannot possibly return until you get to 5.
I agree. That was the whole point.
But it can't return at 3 and say, I errored. It can only return at 5.
Yeah.
It
could return in 3 and it's an error because you could do a registration request. You had badly formed credentials, right?
Right. So to me, that says the command failed. I can't do a registration. I can't even start it.
I agree.
Now, if I start it and I get all the way done, and let's say at number 4, I cannot
Guys, I'm getting completely off. Why would you create a print service unless you had a printer?
He meant the attempt to create a print service failed.
The software entity called a print service, I can't create it. I don't know why. Out of memory, I don't know.
Yeah,
whatever.
Right. Well, out of memory, pretty good choice.
So now, that dashed arrow where it says message one would have to return not successful, but return failed.
Right.
And now,
that's
the error is not the URL to the CPS, because there is no CPS.
No, there is no URL in every case.
Yeah, it returns a null URL as the indication that I could not create a print service. So.
Right, and an error at the same time. That's fine, but it has to return. It has to return the URL or null.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So what is number five? Is that correct?
Five is a response to the original. Print manager registration.
This is actually the registration response.
That's what I was trying to say.
Are you going to leave the text after the numbers to be data or the action?
I'm flexible.
I should also be more of as a description.
I prefer to be the action. I like the way you did number three. If you have an action, which is register printer, then if it's critical to show the data, then put it in brackets. But it's not critical in step four to no longer show the data. Because that data is already in the print, cloud print provider. What's critical there is to say that I'm now trying to do a creation request.
I think it's important to show the data so that you know which of the actors has what information. Because
technically, step four is out of scope for us. We don't care what the data is. That's up to the implementer.
Right.
This is strictly the print service provider, the cloud print provider. How does he initialize the services? We're not specifying that. We're just saying he must create one.
That's what I said earlier, but I guess
later
on,
presumably,
but the
we're saying where the user, for example, where the client is going to be getting this data from.
Right. Well, what we're saying is that the cloud print system service uses the data provided by the Cloud Print Manager to create and instantiate the Cloud Print service.
And you put that in the text below?
Yeah, or he may have a way of saying, I'm going to create a blank service and have that service query the print manager for the information.
Can't query the
Why not? That's what I said.
That was what Glenn said, but Joe,
network visible.
That is not possible in the PWG semantic model or IGP.
It better be visible.
It doesn't have to be. Just because I can hit a website doesn't mean the website can send me a request.
Well, considering that I'm expected to return a URL to it as part of the response that it asked me to do.
Well, return a request, response to the request you asked, but it can't ask another question.
Well, that's true. Okay, yeah, it may not. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so if you want to leave the data on there, you have half of these numbered things are actions, and half of them are, and one of them at least is data. So a number four, put on there, create print service, in brackets, put in the data. That makes everybody happy.
Right, as the operation parens the data.
With spaces, and this is English
right.
code.
Right.
Between the create
not part of our spec, just it's something that.
Right. Yeah. Create print service.
This is English, not code.
Right. Yeah.
Well, the whole thing is the only thing we're ultimately defining are the interfaces to the cloud, right? What happens in the cloud, we're just saying functionally will happen.
These are functional interfaces, by the way. We are not defining the protocol interface between the cloud print provider and the cloud print system service.
Right.
That was code.
That's what I'm trying
to say. Now it makes sense. So you said at the beginning, login connect with the printer credentials. Good. Now I know what I'm doing and I know the data. Now it says return access tokens. You could just say return and put access token in brackets, but we won't argue that one. Three, return printer. Oh, register printer. And here is the access token you sent me. Here is the location. Can we put geo if you mean geo? Because it's going to be funny.
I think geo location. Yeah.
I would just put geo and get the word rid of the word location. Just say geo.
Okay.
Yep, no one knows what that means, I don't care. Now the next one changed location to geo. Number four.
This even makes it display better.
Yep, that's why I thought it was easier, shorter. number, you need a 4A for the response, which was basically successful or not successful, or whatever you want, what do you want to say? It was created or not created?
Yeah, right.
This returns a status.
Oh,
it returns status.
No, it
they all matter. Return status, even if even the one that returns URL also returns status.
It better returns URL.
No, the Cloud Print System Service can, create the URL and just and substantiate it.
Wait a minute. When it did the creation operation, somebody created the URL. Who did that?
You're right,
System
Glenn.
Service.
Yeah, that's right.
No, the print service did not create the URL. The Cloud Print System Service created the URL. You cannot instantiate non-existent edge.
You can't create yourself? Oh, dang. Okay. So return status. Great. So now that happened, and return it with the status.
Add URL to step 4 for create CPS.
Oh. Yeah, so now, URL to CPS should be in brackets. And the same thing on number 6. If you're going to do that, if you're going to put status there, please put it on number 2.
Oh, that's a pretty good idea, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you won't let me have blind APIs. And what is message 2?
That's what you're putting into work.
You mean, what is the name of it?
No, what is it for?
Oh, I don't know. It's something there for some reason.
It was the...
This makes sense to me. I don't know about the rest of you, but that makes sense to me.
This looks fine to me, Glenn. That was the essence of what I was trying to get at.
So if
you wanted
to
label step 6, it's step 6 is registration response, right?
You take registration request, get rid of the word request, and then all those sequences below are registration. That's why I use a block.
We've got request response, at least we do in some numbered ones. We got return. Those are responses.
Yeah, all of those steps below, though, are registration.
Response.
I would argue that they all are.
Well, the entire thing is a registration process.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. But there are a series of requests and responses, and this is the order they're flowing in, because these returns are responses.
Okay.
Peter, are you getting ready to go on to Android, or are you going to be glad when you go?
Well, one way to fire me now is just to wait a little while.
If I was doing this diagram, I'm sorry, the Cloud Print Manager would do a request to the printer between step 2 and 3 to get its current status, default capabilities, and et cetera. It may not know them at that moment.
Oh, it may not have any access to a printer if the Cloud Print Manager is a software service running on a server.
But it has to talk to the printer to get the capabilities, defaults.
Yeah.
So yes.
Be on this diagram to indicate these are the current ones.
I agree.
Yes.
Even though the protocol to the printer is out of scope, fact of the operation of the printer is the action is certainly in scope. It's part of the process of registration.
Yeah. You know, I want that information now.
Because otherwise, I mean, you know, the fallback for that is you parse a PPD, et cetera, right? But that means really know as much as you should.
I thought we weren't using that redundant word anymore.
you parse a static job ticket, same difference. You parse something that you didn't get from the live device.
Oh, I understand. How about this printer info?
I don't know. It seems to me that you've got a continuous connection between the cloud print manager and the printer.
Say again?
You have a continuous connection between the cloud print manager and the printer.
All right, but this is one of the requests it's making. Yeah. Just before registration occurs, it says, I'm connected to the cloud. I now want, just before I register with the cloud, I want to
get
the latest information of that printer.
Yeah, all right.
That's the best I have at that moment. I have no other more information at that time. Now, admittedly, these queries have to be done.
That's all those, the whole list of characteristics. Which won't fit?
Get printer info.
Printer info, yeah.
And now, the printer never needs to know it's registered with anybody. It may not be able to know. Okay, that's fine. There's no other messages back to the printer. Interesting question, Ira. Should the cloud print service, after creation, attempt to talk to the cloud print manager?
No, because then you got to transfer the firewall the wrong way.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right.
That's the problem.
All right. We need one more line when you get done. We need the firewall line.
Oh, you mean somewhere showing in between the cloud and the client?
Cloud and the printer.
Both sides. There's firewalls.
Yeah.
Right. But I think
there's all this cloud goop in the middle, and then there's firewalls, and then there's printer on one side and client on the other, but that's the whole point, right? There's firewall thingies, what kind of dotted line or something vertical, there are things that are firewalls on both sides.
Are we interested in the fact what's in the cloud, or are we interested in the firewalls? I think we're interested.
No, we have to know that the communication is going through a firewall.
That is traversing a firewall at this point.
I don't think this is the firewall is necessarily necessary in this diagram.
Right,
the communication paths are viable is all you need to know.
It's going to be as a dashed line, and it's very useful to someone to understand. So take one of the dashed lines, turn it into red, and put it in the right location, and someone now knows they're going through a firewall.
It does help you when you find they say, oh, wait a minute, we got to...
Yeah, help you.
But the problem is that's very configurable. Do I put the firewall in between the printer and the cloud print manager? Do I put it between the cloud print manager and the cloud print service?
The model you currently have is on the left side of the Cloud Print Manager.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, in the current model, the Cloud Print Manager has got a firewall between it and the Cloud Print Service.
And there may or may not be a firewall between the user, the client, and the Cloud Print provider. It could be in the same domain, so it may not happen. Who knows?
Yeah, and by the same token, there may or may not be a firewall between the printer and the Cloud Print Manager in point of fact, if it's being aggregated. But the point is, the print manager's not in the same domain as the print service.
Yes, not for cloud, right?
Not for cloud. It may be in another cloud, but it's a different one.
That's why I don't use Visio anymore. It got so complicated.
They moved everything.
You are in the session for changing
for the red thick line.
No, that's a connector. That'll get you in more trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, connector will be trouble.
It's having an insert shape.
Yeah.
Okay. We just want a line, right?
Don't do shape changes on the far left. The bottom left where the you want the what the sections are.
Oh, these.
And scroll up to the top of the box up above.
No, the drag bar above it. Yeah, that one.
And then it should have some more shapes, and then go to general.
Or network.
And then basic shapes. Choose your whatever you want. And you should find a line inside there.
Down,
and then scroll down.
Down,
there.
Scroll.
Oh, come on.
Well, you don't actually want a shape. You just want a geometric.
Well, no, you have a line.
Yeah, the lines are at the bottom.
We have the line there.
And those are connectors again.
Once again, it's connector. All it's going to give you.
That's a curve line.
Just, you right, do what you were doing before.
Now I know why you didn't want to draw the line. What? Snap to something.
There we go.
Oh, it even put a little bump over it. How cute.
That's just you want to bridge it, I think.
Does a little bump in the line mean it went over the firewall?
Yes, it does. Uh-huh. what do you call
it? Well, there was a different one. Dash at first.
I thought it was already dashed.
No, it turned solid.
Well, that's what I wanted. Okay.
We'll
so this
make
is pretty much the last part of this.
At least make some progress. Let's make it red. Let's make it red at least, and then we'll leave it.
Why don't you stay over here so I can just change that?
Because you don't have it online. You have it on connector.
Yeah, select the arrow, the pointer arrow again. Pointer tool.
No, red. Which one of these is red?
Orange. Down.
Under standard over. Color,
left.
Go to the left. Second from the left.
Square.
That one.
There we go.
Never ask a colored person to put in
the... to change the color.
But I like these little bumps that are in there on like number 6. See, that means it's going over the firewall.
Mm. Yes, that was really quite cool. I like that.
All right, well, the numbers will have to be fixed up. Well, one thing I'm going to do is save this for a minute.
Please do.
That's not going to get past IDS, you know.
Say that. Man, it's blazing.
That's right, you're in a UML drive. I think you're not allowed to have lines in it.
Make it 06, just for using 06.
-1. Okay, so now we can see
how many processes
of a firewall.
We've got a few.
I don't mind doing sequence diagrams. I really don't mind doing them. They're not that kind of fun.
Are we up trying the...
is that obtain printer info on the left, the leftover? Oh, no, I see it's indicating that.
No.
Okay.
We're going to have text that goes along with this, all right?
Yeah.
And we're
yeah,
probably right, going to define print info as that set of parameters
yeah.
that we've identified on the, you know, on the left, so that makes the diagram easier.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, so now return the access token and print info.
Yes.
Enter info. Ah, yeah. Right, that makes the diagram look cleaner, right?
Now, the next process would be client association, right?
Yeah, we make it, and there you have a precondition that the user is registered.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, which is maybe a step 0 in client association or something. That is, the user has created an account, right?
Yeah, the user is registered with a print cloud, as a cloud provider.
Yeah.
And the cloud provider can communicate a registered user to the cloud print provider.
And if you can just
we said yesterday it's going to be a bubble
and that registration is not going to occur during association.
No, but it may get a, it may become visible during a social
meeting. No, that's a different subject. But well, we don't want to duplicate registration.
No.
No.
I never said that. All I did was cut and paste.
however, Glenn, I thought your model of late binding, the association was the time that you got the registration complete.
Well, because see, the user would have had to log in. He would have now registered the printer. This is an anonymous registration. Ah, go back. We need to relabel the last diagram.
Yeah, get right to that.
The last diagram needs to be called anonymous printer registration process.
What I suggest we do right now is that we go with what we have, and I think we all have a chance to think about it. There are probably going to be some changes, all right?
I just want to say anonymous so that we don't associate that the user, it was during the user.
Okay, can we get that in the minutes?
But it isn't anonymous.
It isn't anonymous. Anonymous is when the user, someone has to come back and claim the ownership of the printer.
Right, but it's still registered without a user.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't matter. It's still a registration.
That's not anonymous.
So the current implementations are that...
All right, go on. I want to argue, go on.
After you get an access token, as a user, you have to initiate the registration.
No, that's not what they said earlier. That's why I'm saying this.
So, you know, depending on which, I could see it going either way, is that, you know, some printers may register themselves with a cloud service. For instance, you know, you could ship every printer you make with, here's the cloud service default, and as soon as it comes live, it's
right. Yeah. It's called anonymous. Anonymous printer registration, because there's no user involved.
Yeah, but it isn't the user involvement that has anything to do with the printer being registered.
There's nothing here that says what the certificate is or what the, what do we call it? There's nothing in here that specifies what the printer credentials are. They could be anonymous. They could be some user that's already been created in the cloud print environment, the cloud environment.
So what you're saying is in this case, number one either gets initiated by the printer or gets initiated by the client. That's their user.
No, the user doesn't do any of this. This is...
Say again?
This is the cloud print manager registering that printer.
So it's anonymous. It's not associated with anybody.
Isn't anonymous. It could be a service already fully configured by FedEx or Xerox or Epson.
But what? It's not associated with anybody. It's not registered.
It doesn't have to be associated with anybody. This can be a pay-per-print printer, right?
No, you're misunderstanding me. For some reason, I'm not sure what I can say to make it correct.
Printers don't have to be owned by end users. They can be owned by organizations. At the time of registration, they can present... For instance, X509 certificates to prove, in a strong sense, their association with a security domain that is registered to do business with this cloud provider.
Okay, never mind.
Okay, guys, should we proceed to the next one, or shall we call it quits for now?
I'd like to call it quits for now.
It is quits. Let us call it quits, for heaven's sake.
Okay.
but at least we have an idea.
If somebody wanted to go off and grab Visio and try to one clean this up,
let's take
a cut at some of the other processes.
Yeah.
Let's not be quite so neutral. Larry? Are you still
there? I'll make a pass all the way up through the ones that we went through on the spreadsheet.
And put each process on an individual page.
Correct.
I'm glad somebody volunteered. I was going to be the first to not volunteer.
And what I will do is store this up under cloud white right now.
I thought we had another hour.
How long have you been here?
I'm afraid that everyone is getting maybe a little bit shell-shocked. Seems there's been a lot of discussion.
You may have another hour. We're done.
And Glenn, we appreciate your efforts. I think we have a model now that represents the information in the best way. So we certainly appreciate your input on it. But quite frankly, we had a long discussion this morning as well, and I think everyone is getting maybe a little bit tired, especially the wielder of the Vizio here.
Yeah, but we're on a roll.
That's what I'm afraid of. I appreciate it. On the other hand, let's maybe quit while we're ahead.
Well,
because I don't want us to go back at this point to the first diagram and start changing it. I want to let that sit and set in people's minds, and then see how it, and if there are definite problems with it, fine. But I think we should see how that fits and then be able to apply that to the others, all right?
And then we'd like to see what associate clients.
Client association
looks like, what print job
request
looks like.
All right, and there are a whole bunch of other processes that we didn't talk about yet. So we have a lot of things to do. And we have...
And you want to quit early.
And we want to quit early.
Well, I guess my reasoning for wanting to quit early is that we sat here and watched remote control of somebody, not Vizio, on that particular version of Vizio Center, to create the first model of, well, here's what the general format is. Instead of sitting here for another hour watching somebody remotely, you know, drive a Vizio creation and line, you know, move this line here, well, Larry's, you know, volunteered to go off and take a cut at offline, and then we can...
Otherwise, I'd move to the whiteboard.
Because it's hard to, you know, actively use that program unless you're sitting around and you're the one controlling it.
Yeah. It's a much nicer dynamic environment to have people standing around a whiteboard.
It's a documentation tool, not a hash it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are there any more exciting subjects we can talk about?
Yes.
I certainly can't be more excited.
I was considering trying to purchase Vizio 2010 during the Microsoft meeting in August, but I have no intention of doing it now. That user interface is just awful.
It is.
It is terrible.
I mean, the old version is much better.
Yeah, but if you use it enough, you get used to it just like anything.
Yeah, with the ribbons and work. Crazy.
Yeah, but that's why I do this. I do this phase of the diagrams on a whiteboard.
Yeah, and then just...
And then try and draw a UML diagram.
Oh, I just use PowerPoint.
Okay, guys, I believe our next conference call is on the 25th of June. I know
we're
all...
Can you send me a copy of that diagram?
I'm sorry?
Yeah,
that diagram has been uploaded onto the...
FTP, thank you.
Under white.
Cloud White.
Yep. And it's the one dated today.
We only have white clouds in this group. Okay. No storm clouds, no.
We don't believe in dark clouds.
I'm going to leave. Bye, guys.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Please continue your enthusiasm to the conference call in 2 weeks.
I love the conference.